Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Maybe some of you showed up today as the reason why you came. I wanted to hear great worship music. Maybe some of you showed up because I wanted to see my friends. I wanted to see my church family. Maybe some showed up today to hear God's word, to learn more about the Bible. Maybe you're here today because somebody brought you. Somebody called you. There's some people even here today because we texted you. Hey, I don't know why you're here. Some of you didn't even want to get up today, but you made it here, didn't you? Listen, I don't know why you're here today, but I want to share with you what I hope is the number one reason why you are here today. To worship. I hope that's the reason everybody showed up here today. To worship. You see, it's the most important reason why we gather as believers of Christ. That's the most important thing that we do. Listen, there's lots of great things that you'll experience here on a Sunday morning. You're going to see your friends. You're going to hear beautiful worship music. You're going to get a chance to serve each other. And God willing, you're going to hear God's word here. I hope you experience all those things on a Sunday, or actually any time we get together, to be honest with you. It could be a worship night, could be having coffee. I hope all those things actually are part of every time we show up as believers. We want to experience worship, because worship is the primary and most important purpose every time we get together. But here's the thing, what is worship? What is worship? You know, we hear that word a lot, especially in church, don't we? Worship. What's worship to you? Is worship to you just, you know, sitting in your chair and listening to the songs of a worship team on a stage? Is worship to you hearing your favorite worship song on the radio? You know, the DJs are always saying on those radio stations, thanks for worshiping with us, right? Okay, is that worship to you? Maybe worship for you is your quiet time, your prayer time with God. I wonder, though, have we begun, even in the body of Christ as Christians, have we begun to equate worship with just a feeling or an emotion? I've come here today to challenge us to dig deeper into what worship is, and what I hope to show you is what worship can be, what worship should be. I've come here today to proclaim that worship is much more than just a feeling you get when the worship team sings your favorite song. I've come here to tell you that worship involves every part of who you are. You know, we are three-part beings. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Worship encompasses all of that. Worship encompasses everything that you are, everything that I am. As we dive deeper into what worship means, I want to start today with Psalm 63. This is what King David wrote. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is what? Better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will do what? I will lift up my hands. You know, I'm not sure if you've ever noticed, but in the main lobby as you walk in, there's some words that are on the wall right above the entrance to this room. Anybody know what those words say? Anyone ever look at that? Those words say worship center. Worship center. Because those words are there as a reminder that the most important thing that will ever happen in this room is worship. The most important. As you walked into those doors today, this morning, did you come thirsty for God? Did you come in expecting to see his power and glory in this sanctuary? Is that how you walked through those doors? Did you enter in here ready to glorify his name with your lips and lift your hands in praise? My friends, my brothers and sisters, worship is a lot of things, but I want to sum it up for you in one sentence today. Worship is a heart posture. Hear me. Worship is a heart posture. And so today, here's the posture that I'm calling us to adopt. Here's the attitude when it comes to worship. And it's the title, if you like sermon titles, it's also the title of my message today. It's this: lifted hands and open hearts. Lifted hands and open hearts. You see, every time we gather, and I would submit to you, actually, every day you wake up, I hope that's our heart posture. Lifted hands and open hearts. This heart posture leads us then to what I believe worship can be, and I think worship should be, when you adopt that mentality, that attitude, that heart posture toward worship. And I want to share four things with you that I think are a result of having lifted hands and open hearts in our approach to worship. The first is this. It's a call to come close. Let me show you what James chapter 4, verse 8 says. It says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you," what's that last word? It's two words. Double-minded. You see, when we come to worship God with lifted hands and open hearts, what you and I are saying is, "God, I want to be close to you. I want to be near to you." But notice what drawing near to God looks like, according to James 4:8. It's not just a request or a demand. You see, there's an action on our part that opens that door of nearness. It's our repentance that draws us near to God. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They just want, "Oh, God, just be near me, near me." No, repentance opens the door to that nearness. Remember, if anybody's in your life, when we drift, God didn't go anywhere. He's still there, right? God's always ready and available to be near to us. It is simply our choice whether we choose to be near to him. When we worship and we have an attitude of, "Come close to me, God," that's part of our posture. That's what we're saying. Now, let's talk about this, because if we believe the scripture, which I do, a good part of our repentance is going to have to be related to our double-mindedness, right? Now, double-mindedness, you can do a lot of research on it. You could find a lot of different meanings for it. But here's one I want to share with you today. Even though it could mean a lot of things, I think more than anything else, what double-mindedness represents is one foot in the world and one foot in with God. That's basically, you want to nutshell it right down to it? Double-mindedness is having one foot in a relationship with God, the other foot in the world. There's another scripture that says, and when you're double-minded, you're going to be tossed on the waves to and fro because you have no foundation. When we worship, it's an opportunity to put God in his proper place as the Lord of every part of our life. Not some parts, every part. It's us saying to God, "Listen, God, I know there's parts of my life that I have not yet given over to you, and I want to. I worship you, God, by letting go of the world's way of doing things and focusing my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, everything on your way of doing things." That's worshiping. Another subtitle for this message might be, worship is more than a song. Worship's more than a song. As we draw close to God through worship, we learn to let go of the world and the mindset that the world tries to put on us. The world says, save all your money, you know, just build up your treasures here on earth because you're going to need it. God says, no, give me the first of your money and I'll make sure the rest gets taken care of. You see the difference, the double-minded mindset between what God says and what the world says. Worship gives us an opportunity to break through that, to get our minds right. Let me tell you another thing. Lifted hands and open hearts represent in worship a sign of surrender. A sign of surrender. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. He said, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and do what? Follow me. And whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. To live a life of worship is to lay our life down for the cause of Christ. That's worship. Worship is not just something that we do on a Sunday morning. Let me say that again. Worship is not just something we do on a Sunday morning or at a worship night. Worship is not just singing a song in your car on your way to work. Worship is a lifestyle. Hear me now. Worship is a lifestyle. It's surrendering your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole will, and everything that you are to the Father who created you and His Son who died for you. Yeah. Worship is a lifestyle. It's surrendering your whole heart, your whole mind, everything that you are, to the Father who created you and His Son who died for you. That is surrender. But here's the thing. Anybody been on this planet for a minute probably knows this. Surrendering is most often a process. Yes, we may surrender our lives when we accept Christ. And later today, maybe there's someone here that's never done that. You're going to have a chance to surrender your life and give your life to Jesus. But what you're going to find, if you've been alive on the planet following Jesus for any length of time, is it's usually a process. That process has a name. It's called sanctification. That's a fancy word for the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Right? That's what we're doing when we're surrendering. We're becoming more and more like Christ. When we worship, it's part of the sanctification process. Get that? You ever thought about that? Every time you're worshiping, you're sanctifying. It's part of the process. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. So when we worship, it's part of the sanctification process. Worship draws us closer to God, and worship helps us become more like Jesus. You see, Jesus surrendered his entire life, every part of it, to fulfill the mission that he was sent for. When we worship, it helps us surrender our lives so that we can fulfill the mission that God gave us as followers of Christ. Jesus is always the example, always. Jesus surrendered everything. And when we worship, it helps us to learn how to surrender. I'll tell you something else that lifted hands and open hearts represent. And this is the one that we'll probably think of the most. It's one you hear about. It's an offering of praise, right? In fact, you usually hear those words go together, praise and worship, right? Very linked. Appropriate. But what is praise? Well, let's look at Psalm 141 for a minute. Verses 1 and 2, it says, O Lord, I'm calling you, please hurry. Listen when I cry for help. Accept my prayer. And incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. When you worship with uplifted hands and an open heart, you are actually bringing an offering to God. You're bringing an offering of praise. Well, what's praise, Pastor? Well, you could find a lot of different definitions But here's what God put on my heart is I studied this out and prayed about it. When you praise God, actually what you're doing is you're reminding yourself of God's goodness. When you praise God, you're reminding yourself of His goodness, His grace, and His mercy in your life. And then God accepts that offering, not because He's on an ego trip to, oh, let him tell me how good. No, God's not on no ego trip. He already knows how good He is. He created everything, okay? No, God's not on an ego trip when we give Him our thanks. That's for us. You see, as you worship, you thank God for always being there for you. As you worship, you thank the loving Father that is there for you. You thank God for waking you up this morning. Did anybody thank God today for waking you up this morning? He woke you up. And that's the same God you thank for allowing you to sleep when you want to cry yourself to sleep. When the weight of the world, when the anxiety is on you, it's only the peace of God that can allow you to sleep. I don't know if you've been there before. I can't tell you, there's sleepless nights. The only reason I was able to sleep was because of the peace of God. I can't get that anywhere else. I cannot get that anywhere else. Have you ever thanked God for that? That's praise. Praise equates to thankfulness. Let me share the fourth and final indication of what lifted hands and open hearts look like. It's this. It's asking God, be with me in the battle. Be with me. Man, anybody going through some battles right now? I would say to say, Pastor Karen mentioned this a couple weeks ago, you know, everybody's got something going on. Is every part of your life perfect without opposition, no battles? I'd love to talk to you because, listen, we all have things we're battling. Some people here might be battling an addiction. Some people might be battling a habit. Some people might be battling something at work. Some of us in this building right now and listening at the sound of my voice may be battling depression. Everybody is battling something. Let me show you what a battle looked like for Moses and Joshua. It's found in Exodus chapter 17. This is what it says, starting in verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. Now, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. You see, when we worship with uplifted hands, it's a sign that we're inviting God into our battle. God, come on in. But it's more than that. It's actually a recognition that we need God in our battles if we're going to be victorious. Let me say that again. Come on. Not only do we want God, yes, no, we need God in our battles if we're going to be victorious. We need Him. Moses needed Him. Aaron needed Him. You see, when Moses raised his hands, what happened? He won. When he lowered his hands, the enemy began to win. When we worship with lifted hands, we're saying, God, be with me in my battles. Give me the help that can only come from you. You see, Moses wasn't getting any other help to defeat the Amalekites other than God's help. So, there were Joshua and the guys fighting the battle. But the minute he started getting tired, for whatever reason, lowering his hands, not depending upon God in his battle, look what happened. We're the same way. We invite God into our battles as a form of worship. You know, one of my favorite songs has a line that says, maybe you know it, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It's one of my favorite worship songs because it so describes what I'm talking about right now. When you're in a battle, it might look like literally the world's against you. All these things are surrounding you. But then you remember, oh God, I need you in this battle. And all of a sudden you're surrounded by God. You're surrounded by his peace. You're surrounded by his presence. You're surrounded by his power. That's what you get when you bring God into your battle. Now let me show you something else in that same story. It's in the next two verses, as a matter of fact, verses 12 and 13 in Exodus chapter 17. Says this, when Moses' hands grew tired. Anybody here get tired sometimes? You just get tired. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other. What a beautiful picture. So his hands were steady. My friends, when you're in a battle, first and foremost, use worship as a way to call God into your battle. But never forget this. You were never intended to do your battle alone. You were never intended to do your battle alone. One of the greatest lies that our enemy tries to get into our head is that, oh no, you're on your own. No one cares about you. He isolates. God always brings people alongside us. Okay? You see, that's why we have each other. That's one of the most important functions that the church serves, is to do this life together. That's why it's called the body of Christ. It's not called the arm of Christ or the head of Christ. It's the body of Christ. We need each other in the battles of life. In this room, there are some Aarons waiting to lift your hands. In this room, there are some Urs who are ready to hold up your other hand. When your heart is weary, when you're tired, when you need somebody in the battle, there's people in this place right now that can be that for you. That's the way God intended it. He never intended us to do this life alone, ever. Anyone that says it was just me and God on a mountain, no, it's not. Because guess what? It was Moses and God on the mountain, but sometimes he came down from the mountain. At some point, Moses just didn't stay up there. He came down, led a whole people out of Egypt, and had to deal with them for the next 40 years. But the bottom line is it wasn't just Moses and God on the mountain. That's great. He had his kind of a scary moment, actually. But to be honest with you, some people want to go into seclusion. All I need is just me and God. No, I'm sorry, the scripture doesn't back that up. God's word doesn't say that. We need each other. We need each other in the battle. Worship team, would you come up at this point? While the worship team is setting up, I want to remind you of another very important thing when it comes to worship. As believers in Christ, we worship the same God. I want you to get that for a minute. You see, we worship the same God as David, who wrote Psalm 73 that we read today. We worship the same God as James, who wrote, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. We worship the same Jesus that we read about in Luke today, who calls us to worship as a sign of surrender. And we worship the same God as Moses, who called upon God in his battle, just like you and I do. There's a scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter of the Bible. Many of you may be familiar with it. But in that beautiful chapter of Scripture, there's something referred to as a great cloud of witnesses. You see, those great witnesses were people who lived here on earth, developed a faith and a worship of the same God that we're here worshiping today. I preached a couple weeks ago, God's a generational God. want you to envision, as we sing together this next song, as the worship team's going to lead us, I want you to envision the cloud of witnesses that actually, in this moment, if we believe what the Bible says, and I do, it says one of the most important things that we will do in heaven is worship. I want you to understand, we have a cloud of witnesses that will be worshiping and watching us as we worship. As the team sings this next song, let me encourage you, I want you to be a participant. Matter of fact, would you just stand right now? Worship, my friends, is a participation activity. And some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I don't sing. I just feel weird about lifting my hands. God doesn't care what your voice sounds like, but he cares to hear it. Lift your hands. Open your hearts. Right now, during this next song, maybe you need to come close. Maybe you need to come close to God. Maybe you need to draw near to him. Maybe you need to use worship as a sign of surrender. Maybe you want to use these next few moments as you cry out and sing out to God to praise him, to thank him for everything that he's given you in your life, for his goodness and grace and mercy. Or maybe there's some people in here going through a battle right now. Use this time of worship to ask God into your battle. Sing out. Lift your hands. Open your hearts and lift your voices.